And welcome to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. And, of course, this is brought to you every Saturday by Rise Up Reno. And we're going to welcome in Carla Smith. She's executive director of this organization. Carla, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing fine. And I don't know why I still feel compelled to say, well, you used to be communities that care. When do we move past that, and when do you want me to stop bringing it up?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We still have to say it on some of the things that, you know, like grants and things that we've had for a long time, and they're keeping data, so they don't want to change our name yet. But officially, our name changed way back in October, so we are Rise Up Reno Prevention Network, and hopefully people will start recognizing that.
Well, fair enough. You do have a guest today, but before we get to Lisa, would you remind people what Rise Up Reno Prevention Network is, what you do, where you work out of, and who you collaborate with?
All right. Well, we are we're the drivers of change on the issue of drug and alcohol prevention. So we want to see kids have opportunities to really make great choices and not get in trouble and just never, ever have to deal with the problems that come with drug and alcohol issues. We also are just really active in keeping kids busy and on task to graduate, to have positive mental health, and just to be successful. So we do a lot in the community, and we do work out of the USD 308 school district, which is nice, but we are countywide, so we get to offer services and programs throughout the county. And everything we do is based on data that's local and what we need right here in Reno County.
You can be reached many, many ways. Social media is a good place to do it. You've also got a website. And before, again, we get to Lisa, and Lisa, sorry to keep putting you off, but
that's okay.
I want Carla to mention Match Day two or three times during today's show as we all hunker down from home and do this by telephone. But if you would, Carla, talk about those things.
Okay, Match Day is a great opportunity. The Hutch Community Foundation has come up with some money that they can use to match donations from community members to nonprofits that have endowment funds. So that is money that's going to go into our long-term success and help keep us and other nonprofits just here in the community doing what we do and making a difference. So Match Day is on May 5th, and it is all online this year. So you go to iHeartHutch.org, which of course you can find at our website, which is RiseUpReno.org, or on any of our social media as well. And you can make a donation online that day, and all of the donations that are made that day can be matched by the Hutch Community Foundation up to, I believe, $12,000 per organization. But it's also based on some other numbers and things that they can crunch, and you can get more information about on their website. So
folks want to give $5 or $5,000, it's all fair game, and it all helps the cause.
That's right. That's right. And there's 33 organizations, so you might be wanting to donate to other organizations, or you might want to donate to organizations that have a wide variety of different needs. But we definitely want you to donate that day so that we can get the money matched, and that way we get more, and it just really helps us long term.
No doubt about it. And your social web or your media, social media contact information in your website.
Right. Everything's on our website. It's RiseUpReno.org. There's icons there to go to our social media. And we have been putting out lots of information about just staying healthy and making good choices during this time and avoiding depression and avoiding just, you know, the things that can kind of get us down and might lead to somebody feeling like they want to try drugs or alcohol or trying to, you know, find an escape. We want people to find healthy ways. So we have been putting a lot of information about that on our social media. So check out our Facebook for sure and check out our website. And everything is listed on RiseUpReno.org, including our email. So email us if you'd like more information.
Good. Thank you for that. Now, you have an esteemed colleague with us today.
Yes.
I'm going to let you properly introduce Lisa Orison, who's one of the program coordinators. So, Carla, if you would do the justice to Lisa, I would appreciate it.
All right. Well, Lisa Orison has been with our organization for about 8 years and does a wonderful job working with our volunteers and working with teachers and getting to know what the kids need, which, like I said is based on data, and she keeps on top of that. She keeps on top of our website. She does a lot of work for us. So Lisa is an excellent asset to our agency, and we couldn't do everything we do without her. She has a lot of information, and I've asked her to share some stuff with us that maybe we haven't thought about yet.
Lisa, welcome in. Always a pleasure to have you, and welcome back.
Thanks, and thanks for having me, and thank you, Carla, for the nice words and wonderful introduction.
So as program coordinator, Lisa, kind of tell us some more of your duties, and then I know that you are very involved in the suicide prevention and volunteers as well. So just tell us a little bit more about the position you hold and what your responsibilities are.
Well, like Carla said, my position is program coordinator, so I coordinate all the volunteers that go into USC 308. I help the teachers get volunteers for their classroom or for their students, and so I work more closely with the staff in the school district and coordinate volunteers as to whatever the school district may need. And that varies by school. I also set up one-to-one matches for students who may need a mentor or would benefit from having a one-to-one mentor. I coordinate all the Read With Me programs. I think program coordinator means you do it kind of all. But, it works.
It definitely
might disagree a little bit.
She does do a lot of everything. She does a lot of everything, and it says on her job description that and other things as needed. So
right.
We just keep piling more on everybody. We have not slowed down since we've been working at home, which is interesting because I keep hearing other people saying, oh, they're bored or they don't have much to do. But nope, Lisa has been busy the whole time. I've made sure of it.
Lisa, how has it been not being able to kind of do the programs as normal? Obviously, you're involved in USD 308, and I'm sure that not only the volunteers and the mentors, but, you know, these kids, well, they're now into this routine of being basically quarantined. But, I'm sure you miss the volunteers, you miss the mentors, and you miss the kids.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The volunteers, we build such a close bond because we're together every week, some of us multiple times a week. And so, yes, I am missing the volunteers very much. And the students, you know, we didn't have that closure this year like we normally do, saying, you know, this is the lesson, we'll be with you. And so we'll see you next year or what have you. And so that was kind of hurtful, you know, to think, well, we never got to really wrap it up for the school year. So I just keep thinking, I hope the kids are continuing to read, even though, you know, they're not in the classroom. And I know that the volunteers are looking forward to the next time that they can, you know, see them again. And I'm sure that the students are feeling the same way. It's been hard on everyone. But I guess the thing to remember is everyone's going through it. So, yeah, it's made things quite different, and this week is Volunteer Appreciation Week, and so we're trying to come up with new ideas on how to show appreciation to the volunteers, and that's kind of hard when you can't be close. So put a video out this morning, and we'll just continue to communicate by email or letters or whatever it takes. But we're still here, we're still working, and this time,
well,
if they haven't been able to be in the schools, then I've been working on setting up what next year may look like, and really working hard on the suicide prevention.
Well, that's a nice transition into suicide prevention. Now, my understanding is it's a little early to see what the isolation effects have had on people's mental health, and to have any long term studies. I'm sure that there'll be lots of studies coming out. I've not seen any suicide rates as far as them going up or down or remaining stable. Of course, every suicide is, you know, we just don't want to hear about that. But unfortunately, that's reality. So why don't you talk about suicide prevention and some of the ways that you can help us prevent that, not only, you know, for ourselves, of course, but for people we care about or maybe even strangers.
Sure. Well, the good news is people are using the National Lifeline, They're using the text line. And so we know this because the numbers are going up for those two. The Lifeline and the text line are seeing a increase in numbers. And so that's a good thing. We won't have any data for probably 2 years. I look at it in a positive way, that the numbers for the Lifeline are going up. That means people are reaching out for help.
Lisa, do you have the phone number for that suicide prevention hotline?
I sure do. It's 1-800-273-8255. And
so
the text
fellas,
line,
you can
text
or should
home
needs to call
to 741-741.
Okay, I think I was talking over you on that. Could you give that again?
Sure. You can text home to 741-741.
And Lisa, who should or needs to or should we recommend call that number? What is the purpose of that phone number?
That they are there for everyone, John. So if you are feeling lonely, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, they are there for you to talk to. It's not just if you're feeling suicidal. See, that's something very important to remember. You know, even if you're not feeling suicidal, you can call. They're there for you. Now, it's my understanding that the call volume is getting quite high, so you may need to stay on hold for a little bit, you know, or if you're texting, it may take them a little bit longer than what they normally, you know, take to get back with you, but someone is there to visit with you, so just be patient.
Lisa, do you want to address perhaps, look, obviously there's a stigma with a lot of things. I mean, we could spend hours listing things that are associated with the stigma. Suicide, of course, you know, if somebody commits suicide, it's a final act. And it's something that is preventable and avoidable. But how do we do that if we think a friend or family member or even a stranger, somebody we don't know, but they're not necessarily acting like we think is whatever normal is? Are people afraid to get involved? And if they are, should they? I mean, where's the guidance there?
Well, I think that it's scary, you know, to be involved, for one, especially if you've never dealt with it before. But it's important in asking someone, how are you feeling? What can I do to help you? What do you need from me? And, you know, if you are needing to help someone, you can call that Lifeline or you can text the text line and they will walk you through. Here's what you should ask them. Here are some things that you could do to get them some help. Here are some resources. And there's people that walk you through it. It's not as if you have to figure it out all on your own.
So, Lisa and Carla, why don't you two interact about, I don't know that I've heard of a student. I mean, obviously, we've had some that have committed suicide over the, you know, the long history of the, you know, just being in school. But what do the two of you see? Are you hearing any of this, you know, these problems with some of the students that are quarantining or in isolation or, you know, just stuck at home, basically? Or is it kind of maybe better than you thought, worse than you thought? Take the temperature of this.
Well, I think, John, that it's important to remember that there's always someone you can reach out to. And I think the kiddos today or students today can be connected in so many ways. You know, we have FaceTime, we have Skype, we have Zoom, we have texting. There's you can reach anyone on a cell phone any time of day. So I don't think that quarantine or self-isolation is as bad for youth as it is maybe for older people who really don't have those resources or don't understand how to use some of those resources. And so I have not heard any numbers or statistics on how it is for the youth, but they are way more connected and use resources way better than what even I do. And so I think that they're very resourceful when it comes to how can I, you know, not be so bored.
I think that's true, Lisa.
from what I'm hearing from the kids and about students is that they are so resourceful. And, you know, we've always worried that this generation or people who have had so much technology their whole lives maybe didn't get as much creativity or times to just play. But I think we're seeing that they are pretty creative, and boy, they do know how to connect. They can find each other and talk to people from across the world. They talk to people that they've met at camp and that they've seen at different church gatherings and that they know from school and that they know from other schools. So it's really interesting that the kids are, I think, staying more connected than a lot of adults are. But that's not completely true because my mom is retired and she told me that she's just been practicing for a whole quarantine. She's been staying home and watching movies and being online. And she said she's just been practicing for this. It just works out fine. So it just depends on the people, but I think kids especially are connected still.
Well, Carla, since you mentioned, you know, adults and grandparents and parents, you know, they're probably the majority of people listening to this program right now. What do they need to be looking out for, Lisa? What kind of signs? I mean, yes, there's some obvious signs when a child mentions the actual word. I'm thinking about suicide. But what about, and Carla, you can address this as well, but, you know, maybe they're experimenting with drinking or drugs, and maybe they've hinted around that, boy, if I, you know, took all of this, you know, that it might just end it all and put me out of pain and I wouldn't have to deal with that anymore. What should we be looking for as adults, parents, and grandparents?
Well, I think anything. Go ahead, Carla.
Go ahead. I think we need to be aware of the people around us and when their behaviors start to change. And, you know, behavior has changed a little bit just because we're in different circumstances. But most parents and grandparents are going to notice if their kids are really starting to, you know, have different level of interest in life and things like that. So, of course, they can get help by calling the lifeline or texting the text line. And like Lisa said, somebody can talk you right through how to have a conversation about that. But I think that the key for all of us, adults and kids, is just really keeping them in touch with other people and knowing that they matter and that, you know, we all have an influence over and on each other. And what one person does doesn't stop there. There's an effect that reaches other people. So we just have to stay connected. We have to stay connected with our kids and with our grandparents and with all of our people that we care about, because we want all of them to have good mental health right now.
Right. Yep. And on adding to that, if a parent is noticing that there's something not right, I don't know if many people in the community know, but Horizons has a crisis line that you can call as well. And that number is 1-800-794-0163. And that is, of course, local, right here in Hutchinson. And so they're doing telemed appointments. They can help you as well. So there's that. And then the United Way has 211. You can call 211 and get resources for many, many different things. So if that goes for mental health and just a broad spectrum of resources, you know, not just mental health, but if you're needing help with something else, maybe something else is really bothering you, you can call 211 and get a list of resources that way.
Lisa, do you have any numbers in front of you as far as statistics for, maybe age groups or you know, categories of people who commit suicide? I mean, I think we've mentioned this in one of the shows prior. You know, the obituaries normally don't say that the person has committed suicide. So unless you're digging for statistics, you're probably not going to hear very much of it.
Well, it kind of changes, John, year by year. But KDHE has a really good website where you can get that information. And I don't have the numbers in front of me. I do know in Reno County, 2018, I believe the numbers were pretty high for the size of the community that we have. The state of Kansas, there were 544 completed suicides. And, you know, being on the Suicide Prevention Coalition, I just one is too many. So it's important for people to know that they can reach out and get help.
Well, and I'm a little concerned, just like, you know, so many people, you two especially, not only with children, but, you know, every sector of the economy has been impacted. People have lost jobs. Maybe they don't qualify for unemployment. They didn't get a chance. I mean, whatever the reasons are, these are tough times for a lot of folks. And what's the message of hope here? This is for both of you, Lisa and Carla. There is a lot of hope out there. Things are going to get better, and there are people that care, right?
You bet. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think something I try to do myself is every day, what am I thankful for today? You know, there's a bright side to everything. Do I want to be at home working? No, I would rather be with my coworkers where we can say, hey, what do you think about this at the drop of a hat, and not have to have a Zoom meeting to figure out what we're going to do for the week. But on the bright side of that, my daughter's home from college. She's studying at home. I'm working at home. You know, it's been kind of nice to be together as a family and be able to have family dinners together again. And every day there's something to be thankful for.
Carla, what's your thought on that?
I agree. We even talked about this in our staff meeting this morning. There are so many things to be grateful for, and it's so frustrating and sad that so many people are being affected negatively, and they are. There are people that have lost their jobs and people that have been without income for months and are going on to months, and it's got to be hard and stressful on people. But here in Reno County, you can find resources. People are stepping up and doing food drives on Saturday nights, and we have seen lots of social media, people encouraging each other. Reno did a lot of work to come up with money to help people with immediate needs, and that application has gone out this week. There's a lot of things going on here to help each other out, and I think we have to remember human nature. We are good. We are good people who want to do good things for each other. And I think that that's going to come through. There's going to be some people that are going to really struggle, but they can find resources. And I think that's the same thing we want to remind people when it comes to suicide prevention, when it comes to drug and alcohol prevention. There are resources. We want to be able to help get that message out and make sure that people can find those. So please check out our website, check out our social media, be, you know, as forthcoming as you want to talk to us and let us know what's going on and what you're happy about and what you're grateful for, because we'll be right there to celebrate with you.
Well said. Again, you're listening to the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio program here on BW Radio. We're visiting with Carla Smith, Executive Director, along with Lisa Orison. She's one of the program coordinators. Ladies, we've got about a little over a minute left. You want to make a final pitch there, Carla, for Match Day, again, coming up in early May?
I sure do. Match Day is going to be May 5th. It is online. So be sure and go to iHeartHutch.org. Of course, you can get there from our website as well, RiseUpReno.org. And whatever you can donate on that day from midnight to midnight has the opportunity of being matched, which doubles your donation. So that's a fabulous opportunity. And it's also just a great chance for us to see who our supporters are and hopefully get a chance to interact with you. I really want to get to spend some time just talking to people and telling them what we do and how important it is and how important it is that we have such great supporters. So it's too bad it's not going to be in person, but we will definitely connect. So be sure and donate. Match Day, May 5th, midnight to midnight, iHeartHutch.org.
Lisa, real quick, a final thought?
My final thought is, don't struggle alone. If you're feeling like you need some help, reach out and get help. And I'm going to give that suicide prevention lifeline number one more time. It's 1-800-273-8255, and it's for everyone. So don't be afraid to reach out.
Our thanks to Carla Smith and Lisa Orison for their time today on the Rise Up Reno Prevention Network radio show. And Carla, Lisa, thanks so much for your time, and we'll do this again next week. Have a great weekend.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
You bet. Take care, and thanks, everybody out there, for listening.